Thank you, Keith. I wore a shirt appropriate for the occasion today. If you can read it, it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." So you don't get confused, I'm not God. But I do know him. Hallelujah. And I just want to encourage you today, and I felt like the Lord was leading me through a particular portion of Scripture from John chapter 8. And Jesus was conducting conversation with the Jewish people of his day, and amongst them was the Pharisees, and he makes this statement to them in John chapter 8, verse 32. He says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen? I had someone once say to me, he said, "A good way of saying it is, you shall know the truth, and the truth that you know shall set me free." And when you think of it in terms of further on, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father except by me." And so when you know the truth, who is the person of Jesus Christ, he will set you free. And one of the things that I've often seen through the years, when God's people are struggling, it's often with the fact that they're believing things about themselves that aren't God's truth. A lot of times we believe things about ourselves that perhaps our parents or our peers have, you know, said things to us like, "You're no good, you'll never amount to anything," labeled us with all kinds of good stuff. And so what happens as a consequence is a lot of times we begin to believe these things about ourselves. And when you start to believe them about yourselves, it's a hindrance to God's work in your life. What you need to believe is God's truth. What is God's truth for you? What is God's truth about you? And it's so important that we know his truth about us rather than believing the lies that we've come to believe about ourselves over the years and come to accept. I once had a preacher say to me, "Isn't it amazing how God says something wonderful about us and we say, 'Yeah, that's good.' And the enemy comes along and says, 'You're no good.' And we say, 'Yeah, you're right.'" And we agree with him. And it's not right. We don't need to agree with the enemy about what the enemy says about us. We need to agree with God, what his word says about us and what he says about us. And what he speaks into our lives is never something negative and destructive. God only has positive things to speak into your life. And when Jesus says we need to believe, he's talking about we need to believe the truth. And that's exactly what he said to the people of his day. "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And when he said those words, he wasn't speaking to the Pharisees. He was speaking to those that were his disciples. He was saying to them, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So I want to look at a few scriptures this morning about God's truth. And I think it's very important for us. You see, a lot of times we believe the enemy's lies, but we also believe that, you know, it's, you know, we're fighting an enemy. But you know what? A lot of times the enemy you're fighting is yourself. I'll say that again. A lot of times the enemy that you're fighting is yourself. Okay? Because God wants to set us free from our carnal nature. How many of you know you have a carnal nature? Hello? Yeah? You have a carnal nature. Whether you know it or not, you have a carnal nature. And no matter how wonderfully sanctified you get, you still have to fight with that thing, that carnal nature. And you know, the biggest enemy that we have is that carnal nature. Because we have things in our lives that we want to do. How many of you have things you want to do? Amen. That's true. We all have those. But sometimes the things that we want to do is not what God wants for us. Sometimes it isn't what he wants for us, but we want to do it, you know, so we get a little bit headstrong, and you know, and we have to contend with that, and God makes us miserable in the process because things aren't working out, and we wonder why we're so miserable. Well, when you're fighting with God, you're going to be miserable. God wants you to be set free and released. But the way to freedom in Christ, the way to freedom in Christ is to be obedient and believe what God says about us and what he has to say to us. So I want to just first of all turn to Galatians chapter 5. I've got a few scriptures to read, so I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. And Paul's speaking to the Galatians, you know, and he's dealing with people who are of a carnal nature, and they're arguing and fighting with one another. And this is what he says. He says to them, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." Hello. Notice that word there. You may not do the things that you please. A lot of times that's what we try to do, is please ourselves. And, you know, in the process, try and please God. And sometimes those two things are in opposition to one another. You know, if you're doing God's will and you're seeking God with all your heart, you know, the desire of your heart should be to do what pleases God. But when you're trying to please yourself, you're in opposition to what God wants for you. And God wants to set you free and bring you into freedom and release. But the path to that is obedience. The path to that is learning how to live according to what God's plans are for your life. And God has plans for every one of you. God has a purpose for every one of you. And his purpose and his plans should always be what's on the throne. I notice that one of the biggest struggles that oftentimes we have as Christians is we like to be in control. Does anybody here like to be in control? Hello? Be honest. You like to be in control, don't you? You like to be in control of what's going on, what's happening. You know, and sometimes God just takes control away from you, whether you want him to or not. Keith experienced that. It was at a time where we become vulnerable. And in those times, we grow immensely. I watched Keith grow immensely in that time when he was in that automobile accident. He was on the verge of death. And God just came right into his life in such a powerful way and changed him into a new man, into a different man. And I'm not saying that God, you know, has to do things like that to get our attention. I pray that he never has to. You know, but sometimes when those things happen, they make a better person out of us, a stronger person. Because in the midst of the crisis, we discover who God really is. We know him, but we really want to know him. How many of you really want to know God? Yeah. Wow. Paul says in one place, he says this, that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. That's a powerful statement. You know, and the fellowship of his sufferings. See, what is that fellowship of his sufferings? Because we are contending with an old nature. And I know the scripture says, if any man in Christ, he is a new creation. Yeah. We all know that, don't we? But sometimes we look at ourselves and say, we're not so new after all. God's in the process of bringing us into the fullness of what that means. He's in the process of changing our lives from one glory to another. And in that process, sometimes there is suffering. There is suffering. You know, I can remember a time in my life where God said to me, I had to let something go, and I didn't want to let it go. I didn't want to let it go. And I had a dear brother in Christ say to me, you know, when you let go of it, God's able to give you something better in its place. And that's amazing, because we think if we let go of something, we lose control. Anybody here ever been afraid of losing control? Yep. We're all guilty of losing control. Hallelujah. Now, I want to just turn to Romans chapter 8, because I feel there's some very important things in Romans chapter 8. I think this is one of the most favorite chapters in the Bible besides Isaiah 55. And first of all, I want to look at what Christ says about us. And these are things that we need to get into our heart and let God reveal them to us by His Spirit. Therefore, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you in Christ? Are you experiencing condemnation? If you are, the Bible says you don't need to give in to that, because that comes from the enemy. The enemy comes to condemn us. He comes to tell us, you know, points out all our mistakes. By the way, he's very good at that. Have you discovered that? He can really point out your mistakes. He can really, you know, jump on those and say, look at that. You know what so-and-so said about you? Well, look at what you just did. Doesn't that make sense? No? And it's like, he loves to beat up on us and does his best to beat up on us all the time. But you know what? God says, we are not condemned. We are free from condemnation. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm free from condemnation. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, that's what God wants for us. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. See, we're called to be spiritual people. In John chapter 8 also, it says, in John chapter 4, it also says that the Father seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. And there's importance in those two words. Those two words are very important. Spirit and truth. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He comes to bring the truth. He comes to reveal the truth, to make the truth known to us. He comes to enlighten the Word of God. How many times have people here, you read the Word of God and you think, oh, I'm not just not getting anything out of it. I don't understand it. Have you ever been in that place? Yeah. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit is the author of the Scripture. And we can say to the Lord, Lord, help me to understand. Help me to understand what I'm reading. Will you reveal it to me? I was reading the story of Graham Seed. And Graham, you know, was a man who didn't have an education and didn't know how to read. And he came to the Lord and he said, Lord, help me. And the Lord began to show him and open up the Word of God to him, because that's what God wants to do. My father was a man who had a very limited education, and he couldn't read. He just couldn't read at all. And when he became a Christian, he said, I need to read my Bible. And so he asked the Lord, Lord, help me. And God gave him the ability to read. And he read the Bible and began to understand it. God began to reveal to him through his word. You know, and that's how God speaks to us, is through his word. He speaks to us the truth that's been planted in us through the seed of his word. He comes by the power of the Holy Spirit and makes it alive to us, breathes life into it. So I want to look now at Romans chapter 8. And this is a truth about you, about us. This is so important. And it's so powerful, really powerful. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Isn't that beautiful? Now listen, we can think, yeah, well, there's a lot of things against me. But listen to the words very carefully. If God is for us, who is against us? Well, the enemy certainly is against you, but he doesn't have power, doesn't have any more power than God. Okay? And the problem lies not in the devil, but the problem lies in our carnal nature. It lies in our carnal nature. It comes down to what we actually believe. It's important that we believe the truth. Okay? Are you with me? Okay. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? You know you're God's elect? Did you know that? Turn to the person next to you and say, did you know you're God's elect? Yeah, you're God's elect. Okay, so listen to very carefully to these words. Who will bring a charge against us? All right? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Anybody ever said, I want justice? Yeah, you don't. You want God's justification, but you don't want justice, believe me. Okay. God has a way of justifying that we don't understand, but we will understand the further we go in him. Who is the one who condemns? And then it gives you the answer. Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. You see, Christ is the one who condemns. Now, what that means, let me explain it to you. At the end of the age, he will condemn those who have not believed and accepted his sacrifice. But it's the very fact that he paid that price that condemnation comes if it isn't accepted. Okay, are you with me? If you aren't with me, raise your hand and I'll say it again or explain it better. Okay? Christ Jesus is the only one who has the right to condemn sinners, because he paid the price for their sins. And he gives us a very easy way to come to him. That is, that we believe in him and accept the fact that he paid the price for those sins. And if we accept that, we don't face condemnation. But if we don't accept that, condemnation is automatic. We condemn ourselves, basically. Okay? He's the one who has the power to condemn, but he doesn't condemn us. I need to make that clear. He has the power to condemn, but he does not condemn us. So if you go back to the first verse in Romans where it says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, you understand that. And go back to John's gospel, and it says, for we condemn ourselves through unbelief. Now, are you with me? Everyone understand? Okay. I don't want to confuse anybody. I want to help you. All right. Verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Now listen to the words. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? It says, will tribulation? Anybody have tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, just as it is written. For your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. See, in other words, what the scripture is saying, we are constantly dying in our selves. We're dying to ourselves. What does it mean to die to ourselves? It means to give up what we want, to give up things that really we don't need in order to accept what he has for us. Okay? Are you with me? Okay. If you're not with me, raise your hand and I'll explain it again. I know sometimes I say things and it sounds a bit complicated, and I don't want to complicate things for you. I want to simplify it. Okay? So here we go. Verse 37. It says, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. In other verses, other versions, it says we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. How are we more than conquerors? In Christ. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. Why? Because he's defeated the enemy already. We live in his victory. We live in the power of his resurrection. We live in the authority of who he is. Does that make sense to you? Amen. Yeah. Are you enthused about that? Good. You excited about that? Oh, I would tell the person next to you, you're more than a conqueror. Good. See, it's good. We can say these things, can't we? But here's the important thing. We need to really get it in here and believe it in here, where we know who we are in Christ. And when you know who you are in Christ, you're not defeated. You walk in the victory. You overcome. You have authority over the devil. See, and I hear people talk so much about the devil. I think he's, you would think he's omnipresent, but he isn't. Let me tell you, there's only one time in Scripture when Satan himself encountered people. The first time was at the Garden of Eden. The second time is with Jesus Christ. Okay? So if you're struggling, be careful what you say. And I can assure you that the devil is not dealing with you personally. If he was, you would really know it. What you're probably dealing with is your own weak flesh. And you know, when Paul says we are more than conquerors, here's what he's saying. We are more than conquerors. Why? Because we've overcome that sinful nature that's in us. We've learned to crucify it. We've learned to leave it for dead. And we've learned to live in the power of the resurrected Christ. Amen? Good. You ought to be jumping up and down. Well, come on. This is good news, isn't it? You know, because we are overcomers. We are strong in the power of the Lord. We are strong in the power of His might, not in the power of our might, because we know exactly how weak we are. We're strong in His power, and our authority is in Him. I'm amazed. You know, I go to LL quite frequently, and we pray for people, and it's just like, you know, okay, the enemy, you know, gives people a struggle, but you know what? We just tell them, get out. Leave. You have no place. And you know what? He leaves. He leaves. Because why? Because he has to. Because we have authority in the name of Jesus. We have authority in the name of Jesus. We have authority over sickness. We have authority over the devil. But the most important thing is we have authority over our own flesh. And a lot of times we struggle. Listen, a lot of times we struggle because we don't understand that we have authority over our own flesh, over our own carnal nature. You know, God, I struggle with Him all the time. I fight this battle every day. And you do too. Maybe you don't recognize it yet, but you do. You fight this battle every day, because every day there's a temptation to give in to our carnal nature, to give in to what our old man wants. And we can't give in to him. But we have authority over him. Hallelujah. That ought to make you shout really loud, glory to God. Got authority over our old nature, you know? Thank you, Lord. Now, verse 38. And I love this scripture. It's so powerful. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Basically, what he's saying is, we are unconquerable. Hello? We are unconquerable. When we live in Christ, we are unconquerable. There's nothing that can overcome us. Nothing. In Christ, we are the ones who are the victors. You know, in today's world, we see so much going on around us, and it looks like, you know, what is going on? The whole world has gone mad. You know? But you know what? If you read Haggai chapter 2, you'll find out exactly what's going on. You see, the Bible tells us all about these things. It's not some great mystery or secret, you know? And I can tell you right now, things will get better before they get, or things will get worse before they get better, I should say, for the world. But for us, they're just getting better. Better, 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 better. Turn to the person next to you and say, things are getting better. Yeah. Because every day, we're getting closer to our Lord's return. Isn't that amazing? That's wonderful, isn't it? And you know, he's not defeated. He defeated the devil. He overcame the world. And in Haggai chapter 2, it says that God was going to shake all things. All nations, he says. And God is doing that. That's what's happening in our day. God is shaking things. But here's the truth. In the face of all the shaking that's going on, it's not affecting us. We're the one unshakable thing in this world. Hello? We're the one unshakable thing in this world. The kingdom of God is not shaking. The kingdom of God is firmly established and firmly in place. God is not shaken. He's the one that's doing the shaking. And that's good news. Because he's bringing all the rats out of the bringing them all out of the woodwork, so to speak. But now what I'm saying to you now is that God is shaking the nations for a purpose, and the purpose that he's shaking them for is to wake men and women up, to let them know, you know, you're living in a time, dangerous times, and you need to have something secure in the midst of these dangerous times. And the only secure thing in the midst of these dangerous times is our relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. It's the only thing that will not be moved and not be shaken. It's the only place where there is security in him. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you with this today. You know, when you start dealing with your flesh, realize that you have power over your flesh. You have the authority of the name of Jesus. You have the ability to overcome. As a matter of fact, you are an overcomer. Sometimes we just need to learn how to appropriate what we have, to apply it. How do I apply it? Through resistance. In another scripture it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yeah, he does. He tempts us. He's a tempter. And he tempts us often. But he tempts us through the weakness of our flesh. And that's what you have to see. It's through the weakness of our flesh that he tempts us. And so we need to speak to our flesh and say, flesh, line up with the word of God. Be obedient. Come under the Spirit of God that's in me. And apply that to us. We resist the enemy through our mouths, through our words, through our decisions. We resist him. And we set our wills to do God's will. We set our lives to live within the parameters of God's purpose and God's will. Amen. Does everybody feel like jumping up and down? Good. So we just want to just, you know, everybody just stand. If you want prayer, you feel that, you know, God wants to help you in this area, please feel free to come. We have a ministry team here who will pray with you, pray for you. So let's just pray, and then, you know, you can come forward. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you that, Lord, your plans and purposes are going to be established. And, Lord, we want to pray now for those who have lost their luggage in Estonia. Father, we stand against the enemy's plans to divert their attention away from what you've called them to do. And so, Father, we just ask you right now to release those luggages into the hands of those who are missing their luggage, Father. And at the same time, we ask you, Father, to anoint them with your Holy Spirit to walk and do what you've called them there to do, to focus on that, Father. We pray in Jesus' name that they not be distracted by this. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.